Please be advised that this interview contains some language which may not be appropriate for all audiences.
The art director Paula had to like call all the board artists to have a meeting because our action notes weren't up to snuff and they were kind of confusing. And there was a sequence where Rigby was playing Dance Dance Revolution and I put in Rigby plays DDR, and that like very much confused Paula, who had never heard of DDR before, didn't know what I was talking about. So she did have to like call a big meeting about like, we got to do better on action notes and like use my stuff as the example. And it was very like when I had just started, it was like, you know, in my first few months. So that was a maybe a traumatic moment early on.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to the Regular Show Wiki's 15th anniversary interviews. Today's guest was a storyboard artist for 15 episodes across the show's final two seasons, from Dumptown USA all the way up to the finale. Please welcome Sam Spina.
Hello, thanks for having me.
So start from the very beginning. What made you initially want to work in animation?
Dang, I have kind of a weird animation story because I always loved cartoons and stuff, but I didn't even really consider the fact that people could work in cartoons until, you know, I was like out of college and stuff. So I went to school for graphic design. And then after that, I started doing mini comics and comic books and stuff. And I would travel all over the place doing comic book shows. And I eventually met somebody, Stu Livingston, who's the coolest. I met him at a comic book show in San Francisco. And he told me that he worked on Futurama, and I was like, dude, what? Like, you can work on TV shows? So that's when I kind of learned about it, I guess. And yeah, I was actually just kind of cold called by JG out of nowhere. He just emailed me because he found some of my mini comics at a comic book shop in LA.
And so that's how you led on to working on Regular Show then?
Yeah, he emailed me. I was a waiter at the time, and just like most of my 20s was just like working in restaurants and making my own comic books and stuff. And yeah, at that same comic book show that I said in San Francisco that I met Stu, I also met somebody from Nickelodeon, and she told me about the Nickelodeon Shorts program. And I submitted shorts or short ideas for that, and eventually ended up making one. And that was like my very first introduction to the animation world. But as that was going on, I did just get like a cold email out of nowhere from JG asking me if I wanted to take a storyboard test. And I was like freaking out, of course, because I loved Regular Show. It's like, yeah, one of my favorite. It's an awesome show. I loved it. And I was like, never heard about a storyboard test. I honestly didn't know anything about storyboarding or anything, but he sent along the test with the instructional packet, and the Regular Show storyboarding guide instructional packet is like still like the number one most amazing, best, clearest, most efficient like storyboarding packet I've ever seen. So it was very helpful. And I just like did the test, super excited. Sent it back and didn't hear anything back for a couple weeks. And remember like emailing them, being like, oh, dude, did you like see my test? And they gave me a response that was like, oh, yeah, it was cool. Like, we'll let you know if anything comes up. So in my mind, I was just like, okay, I didn't get it, whatever. It was like this weird thing that happened to me that was still cool just to like be able to see the certain packet materials and take the test or whatever. And I kind of just like went along with my life for 2 years. Like I was in Denver when I took the test, and I had moved to Atlanta, and I was working in another restaurant, and I was actually at the ATM depositing my tips for like that last couple of days. And I got a call from Ryan Slater, the producer of Regular Show, and he was like, hey, like, you took a test a while ago. Like, do you think you could like start? We have a spot open. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, I like totally, you know, I thought that ship sailed a long time ago. So yeah, then I had like a few weeks to move out to LA and start working on it. So it was a total whirlwind and like, yeah, just insane, like dream come true moment.
And of course, your boarding partner was Benton Connor. How was it working with him collaboratively?
Oh man, yeah. I don't think I would have survived if I didn't have a partner like Benton. Like he really took me under his wing, and he's such like a pro, and he'd been working on it since the beginning. And his just like sensibilities really synced up with JG really well. He just always knew exactly what JG wanted. And yeah, I was like super, super, super green when I started on regular show. And he was just very patient with me and taught me everything about like camera direction and cinematography rules and all that. Yeah, he's a great guy. And we like, he working on different shows with lots of different people now, I can sense like his style was very collaborative. And honestly, I was just like going along with whatever he told me to do. But he liked to, as you know, regular show is board driven, so the storyboard artists do a lot of the writing also. And our first week of each episode rotation was just like our writing week, and we would sit down together and like write the entire episode together on like a Google Doc, like both just like going through. So it was very much like by the time we started drawing, we both knew exactly what each other was going to do. So extremely collaborative.
Now, in preparation for the interview, I was planning on watching for Benton's interview all of his episodes and then rewatching all the ones which he did with you for this interview. Didn't manage to do it for either of them, but I managed to watch just like an hour ago. I finished watching Dumptown USA, which was the first one you did, right?
Yeah.
And obviously, a big kind of pop culture reference that comes from this is Mordecai essentially being the Lebowski.
I'm honestly not like a huge movie guy, which is like another reason why it was so great being partners with Benton, because he is so knowledgeable of everything like that. But even if I'd seen The Big Lebowski, but everything's just kind of like in one ear out the other with me. Like media doesn't like stick like that. But yeah, regular show, it's a very influential show. And you know, whenever we get a handout for a new episode, there's always like, you know, like reference this movie. Not every episode, but sometimes it's like, I know I had one of my episodes, I was referencing the Big Trouble Little China fight, some other like 80s crazy action movie. But yeah, definitely heavily inspired by Big Lebowski.
What other sort of pop culture references do you remember? Not specifically from movies, but another one which you did was Lame Lockdown with Mercury Heat, which I feel like a good number of people know what band that was based on.
Oh, right. Yeah, they're kind of like Kiss almost, or yeah. I think that they're just like a culmination of like 80s hair metal. Yeah, just very, it's like whatever they write in the outlines, you know. I just Google it and get on with it.
So was there anything personal that you put into these episodes from your own life?
Yeah, not necessarily story-wise, because we were given the outlines, and something that I really grew to appreciate, and I'm so happy that Regular Show was my first show that I worked on, because they're very straightforward with their storytelling in a way that I really appreciate, where it's like it's almost like formulaic, and they just like stick to the idea of the episode and really beat that idea of the episode home, like throughout the episode, like talking about the goal over and over again. So by the time we got the outline, the story beat was pretty much figured out. So there wasn't a lot of room for me to be like bringing my own personal experiences like that. It's just not that type of show, I feel like. But I do definitely feel like I, you know, just like my personality, that's JG and everybody involved were so into letting us kind of like put our own personality in the episodes and stuff too. So yeah, I guess in that sense, just like how the dialogue is, you could probably tell, like I can tell like who did what episode just by like almost like how they're speaking to each other and stuff like that. But yeah, actually, There is one, maybe it was in Dumbtown or maybe it was in my second, one of my earlier episodes. I did put in a this like logo for a record label that I did the logo for called Fork and Spoon Records from Columbia, South Carolina. I put their logo like as the this like restaurant sign, and they kept that in. So there's little tiny things like that where I can like show my friends and be like, dude, I put the Fork and Spoon logo in this regular show episode, and they kept it.
So, is there anything in your episodes that you boarded that didn't make it through to the final episode?
Yeah, a lot, I'm sure. Dang, yeah, it's weird that it's so long ago because I still kind of feel new to the industry, but yeah, it's like 10 years ago. So yeah, stuff gets changed a lot after after we hand it in, because storyboarding's so early on in the process. It goes through so many people, and there's like executive notes that they have to change stuff and things. So yeah, tons of stuff that didn't make it to the end. Nothing comes out in particular about like things that I'm like, oh man, I wish that stayed in, but I'm sure there's like little jokes here and there.
One thing I seem to remember was for one of your episodes, Benson's Pig, I remember JG kind of introduced a scene from the episode at a Comic Con and was like, this is what hap this is like, we're not allowed to use guns, so we had to make it non-lethal beanbags.
Yep. Yeah, that was a Benton sequence where they're like storming up the stairs and stuff, like the SWAT team. Yeah. Funny workarounds, even, but dude, we got away with so much stuff then that there was like no shot would go through nowadays. Like, no, nothing gun related. I think they like killed Santa Claus with a gun. Like, there was guns in regular show, wasn't there? There was always like bazookas and stuff. And like, yeah, the other one is like Benson drinks like, or they get drunk on like chicken wings. That's like another regular show staple. There's no like beer, of course, but
One thing I kind of theorized a few years ago was so obviously the wings are supposed to be booze, but is there an in-universe explanation? So I just decided that, hey, maybe Wing Kingdom, they just soak their wings in alcohol. They're not buffalo
yeah.
wings, it's not buffalo sauce, it's just vodka or whiskey. And that's why Benson gets so drunk off them.
Right. No, yeah, Benson just has, it's like the meat juice flowing through his veins. It's disgusting. Yeah, it gets him all, yeah, raged. I don't know.
Have you got any favorite memories of working on the show?
All my favorite memories is just hanging out with the crew, you know, like going to lunch was always really fun. And any I'm trying to think of like specific stories or anything, but just like hanging in the offices and seeing everybody. There was one, it's like my mind always goes to like the negatives. That's just like how I think. But there was this one meeting that's like kind of funny that the art director Paula had to like call all the board artists to have a meeting because our action notes weren't up to snuff and they were kind of confusing. And the action notes is like when you're handing in your board at the like the one of the last things you do is you go through the whole episode and write in all the action notes like camera pans to the left or you know, Mordecai is holding a pen, you know, just like make it all clear, like the stuff that they wouldn't just infer from the board for the animation people and whoever else has to look at the board later on just knows what's happening. And there was a sequence where Rigby was playing Dance Dance Revolution, and I put in Rigby plays DDR, and it was this very complicated, like, because we drew it all on post-it notes, so it was hard to like have all the different layers like drawn on all these different post-it notes where it's like I had a separate drawing of like all the arrows coming up, like, and then all these like arrows that I'm drawing, like, okay, they move up and pass Rigby this way. It was just like this complicated mess. It's like, what is this even? Maybe not the best boards. And in my action notes, I wrote like Rigby plays DDR, and that like very much confused Paula, who had never heard of DDR before, didn't know what I was talking about. So she did have to like call a big meeting about like, we got to do better on action notes and like use my stuff as the example. And it was very like when I had just started, it was like, in my first few months. So that was a maybe a traumatic moment early on. But no, man, it's just like I'm still friends with all those people and we still hang in. Did you know I'm sure you're aware that Regular Show has been rebooted. Yeah. And I'm like back working on that too. So still getting to like hang out with everybody and it's great. Yeah.
It's one of the things I always loved seeing on social media, was just like, oh, after all these years, people like you'll see just different storyboard artists posting like group pictures, and it always felt to me that behind the scenes of Regular Show always kind of felt like a bit of a family dynamic, and I think that works, and I think it translates into the show really well as well with the relationships between all the park workers.
Yeah, it is. It's a very tight crew, and it always has been. All those, and I think it's like when I first started on Regular Show. I started so late. I started on season 7, and coming from like the indie comics world, I was like, oh my God, like why me? There's so many other like people that are better at drawing than me and writing than me and all this stuff. But after working in the industry for so long. It's like the thing that makes shows work is like you really have to find like the exact personalities that like fit all the specific needs of the show. And it's really hard to find people that like match, not saying I'm like one in a million and a million other board artists couldn't have done it or whatever, but I'm just it kind of makes sense that like of course we'd all be friends, like we're like handpicked to like develop this world further and live with these characters. So all of our personalities definitely mesh together really well.
You've also worked on Apple and Onion. You've worked on Infinity Train. Am I right in saying that you worked on Close Enough?
I did, yeah.
Yeah. So how did working on those shows kind of differ to working on Regular Show?
Close Enough was my show right after Regular Show, and that was really tough because it was the first time I was working on an adult show. And it was also the first time that they were making an adult show at Cartoon Network, I think. So there was just like a lot of like new things to deal with. That was also scripted. So I coming off a regular show, I kind of had like a big ego about like, oh, I'm like a writer and a board artist. And I kind of had to like learn that like writing scripts is super super hard and like not the same as working on a board driven show and like writing out the dialogue to yourself to board later. Like writing scripts is like a really unique art form in itself where you have to be like really succinct with the descriptive words and everything. But yeah, every show's different in a lot of different ways. Apple and Onion was very different because it was Flash show or it was animated digitally in Harmony or whatever they used. So that just there's a lot of you have to approach it differently in a storyboarding sense. Because Regular Show and Close Enough and Infinity Train were all hand drawn. So you could draw like anything that you drew, they would just animate it. Like if you had a character like looking like slightly up or like slightly to the left, like they would just they're drawing every frame, so it's not that big of a deal. As opposed to something like Apple and Onion, and I worked on the Merry Little Batman movie, and the last show that I was on was called Bat Fam, another Batman movie or TV show that's based on the movie. And it's a similar thing to where they're using puppeted characters. So you can't draw their face in like a thousand different angles. There's like the three-quarter view is like the standard one. Like you always see Apple from Apple and Onion always like kind of looking the same because it's a model that they designed that way. So it's like more limiting, but in a really fun way. Like you have to like be more creative with how you use the models, because you can't really change exactly how they look. Is that a very long-winded way to say that? But yeah, there's always differences. And at the end of the day, you're always just kind of trying to get in the head of the show creator and kind of guess what they want in any moment. So like JG's personality is like so different from George Gandy from Apple and Onion, and so different from Owen on Infinity Train, et cetera, et cetera.
And was Infinity Train similar, more similar to working on regular show? Because obviously Owen Dennis was a storyboard artist as well.
Yeah. Yes and no. Similar vibe, like how everybody's like friendly and chill with each other, and the crew is awesome and stuff. But different in that they had such a vision for that show. Like those, the scripts that we got were like airtight. Like they really knew exactly where every character was going and accounted for that, because it was a mini series. It was like a big arc. Yeah, so it was a lot less like adding a bunch of stuff in the storyboards. I mean, you still did every once in a while, like change lines of dialogue here and there, but yeah, a lot less writing. And it was more cinematic too. Like Owen wanted a more cinematic feel. Regular show is like super flat sitcom style intentionally. Like even now, like coming back to boarding on regular show after being away for so long, and it's like the last like 2.5, 3 years or whatever, I've been working on Batman stuff, and that's like super dynamic and like crazy camera angles and things. So I've gotten notes here and there on regular show where it's just like, oh, just like make this camera move just like flat, you know, just move over to the left, like don't try to like use space that much, you know. So yeah, Infinity Train was more cinematic in that way, but yeah, and the vibe was pretty different too, like not referencey, not really joke heavy, more serious.
So was regular show always done on post-its, or like towards the end was there some sort of transition to it being digital?
I think Owen did do like one episode digitally or like with a Cintiq, but no, it was all post-it notes till the end. And I actually got to work on the very last episode, and that was all post-it notes too. Actually, you know what? No, that wasn't the very last episode that I came back for. We were on Close Enough because nobody got Cintiqs until Close Enough. So yeah, all post-it notes pretty much, which is some it's very different to board for that too, that I've kind of learned going back to regular show this second time, is not only were they done on post-it notes, but that's how we pitched the episodes to each other in the rooms. Is I'm sure you've seen the video of like JG pitching where it's like we pin all the things up and then like everybody like crowds around and we like go through and pitch it, as opposed to like most every other show I've been on, you are boarding in Storyboard Pro and then you save it as a PDF and you show it on a screen and like flip through it as you're acting it out. But JG wanted this new version of regular show to be just like the old version. I think people were even boarding on post-it notes at the beginning of this. I came on kind of late to this too, but we still pin it all up. We save the PDF or whatever and then pin it up, and we still pitch it that old school way where like everybody's crowded around, which makes you board differently, because I feel like I've gotten pretty good, especially with like Apple and Onion was like all about like very subtle, like slight movements or like slight little facial changes. Just as like their comedy stylings was like very subtle like that. So I got good at these like very minute movements. And that does not play when you're pitching from far away. And it's like the difference between these two panels, like you can barely tell what's happening. So you kind of have to be a little bit more broad with your acting, and just do like less poses in general. Like don't have all these like hand movements or whatever. Just have like one straight pose of like this line and then cut to another just like this one line pose. And regular show, it makes it funnier. There's like a flatness to it that's, it's just so regular show that really adds to it.
Have you got any, other than your own, any favorite episodes from Regular Show?
I mean, the baby ducks, of course. Don, is that Rigby's older brother episode was hilarious. There's one called Trash Boat that was like a very special one to me, and I still, that was way before I worked on the show, and me and my wife still call big piles of laundry trash boats. I think my favorite of my episodes was either Dump Town or Snow Tubin was one of my favorites.
And with snow tubing, that was great because it was a sort of it had something, it had a wintry vibe to it, but it wasn't necessarily a Christmas special.
Yeah, it's always fun putting the characters in different costumes and stuff. I remember that was like fun designing that. Yeah, that whole episode, that was like the first time, like since I started, where I feel like storyboarding in general just kind of clicked, and I didn't get like tons and tons and tons of notes. I didn't have to like redraw the whole episode multiple times and stuff like my previous ones, so. Just felt good. We also drew that around Christmas time. So I think we had like a shorter schedule because it's like we always had 5 weeks to do each episode. It's like, and I feel like even when we had like a week off, like production wouldn't account for that sometimes. So we just had to like hand it in sooner. But that one was just like a breezy one, like just pure positive, like no insane crisis moments or anything. And it's a fun episode too.
One thing I kind of find interesting about this episode as well. This episode has the first like on-screen appearance of Eileen's dad, but we also met Eileen's dad in a comic which Minty Lewis had done for the main comic line.
Really? I didn't know
Yeah.
that. That's amazing.
So it was kind of like the first appearance of a character not from the show, but who had been in regular show related media, and I thought that was really
Wow,
fun
that
to
is really
see.
cool. That's awesome. Yeah, it's funny like how these kind of like, yeah, you just like come up with something quick and you never know if something's gonna change or not. I don't want to like give any spoilers away to like new episodes or whatever, but there was like instances of like, you know, a little like something that I just drew quickly 10 years ago is now like, oh, we're redrawing it again. And maybe if I would have thought about it more or something, if I knew that it would be more than just like that original throwaway drawing from back then. But
Although we've kind of established snow tubing, it's not a Christmas episode, it's a winter episode. You've have still worked on a Christmas episode. You worked on Christmas in Space.
oh my God, was that the Spacey McSpacetree one, or is that a whole different? That was a whole
The
episode.
Christmas one where it was like four story, it was like a Terror Tales of the Park episode, but it was Christmas.
Oh yeah, no, I did do that one by myself. It's like Rigby's in a mall or something. Yeah, I remember there's like a little like funny little small character in a funny suit that was like chasing him around or something. But yeah, it was very influenced by the Fiesta Mall that I grew up in Arizona. Yeah, so I did do that one kind of by myself because it was like split up like that.
That's one of my favorite, like just little Christmas stories to come out of it. It's very weird, and I think that's what works so well because regular show is kind of very weird. I think Christmas in Space was fairly underrated. It's essentially Terror Tales of the Park for Christmas.
For sure. Yes, I'm looking at the regular show wiki right now. No, all the space stuff was, it got kind of complicated, you know, like there was a lot of like, I feel like it maybe was like a touch like not disjointed. I don't want to like make it seem like a bad thing, but it's like we were given, me and Benton were given our episode, and we didn't know like the full story of the other ones, because they were honestly like right coming up with the ending and stuff while we were working on it. And I think they went back later and like smoothed a lot of stuff out throughout all the episodes, just like because of how like the production works. Like the writers are like kind of writing the season as the board artists are boarding it, and since they're both like early in the process, it's not like, yeah. So it was all very like liquid in flux. But yeah, the space season. One of my greatest achievements on regular show was that I designed Recap Robot. So that's one of my proudest side characters. Yeah, whenever we got a new character in one of our episodes, it was always fun to like try to like do the design for it. But JG would always choose Benton's, which is like, of course, Benton's like amazing. But yeah, Recap Robot, that one was mine.
There's one thing that, and I'm going to send you something in the chat
Oh,
because it's
cool.
an image. One thing which people have theorized on Reddit, and I don't know whether this was your intention or not, is that during the scene where everything's going crazy in the mall, there's three people who people theorize look a lot like Josh, Emily, and Candace from Close Enough.
Oh.
As the person who boarded this, is there any truth in it sending now in this theory?
I'm excited to see this. Oh no, that's a definite no. That is funny though. I see the resemblance, but nah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be funny, but I love their like Benson noses. Yeah, I do. I love hearing people like diving into like specific things like that because it really is just like there's so much drawing when you're storyboarding. It's just like you don't have time to like really consider every frame that much, you know. It's like plowing through. So no.
Would you have been working on Close Enough when this episode was boarded, or was that a bit later?
That was later.
Okay, so you heard it here. That is not a Close Enough reference.
Unfortunately, it's not. There's more, I think it more goes the other way. There's like some regular show references in Close Enough because the Close Enough was 1,000% a mystery. I didn't even hear about Close Enough until like my last week of regular show. When I was like, oh God, I have to like find a new job soon. And then, yeah, there was like a day where people got called into the producer's office and he like would tell everybody about like, she's working on this new thing, like so yeah, there was we weren't it wasn't a very JG's a very secretive dude. Like he likes to hold his like ideas close to his chest and like he really enjoys surprising people. Like, and I'm the same way, like with my personal work, like my comics and everything. I don't show people anything until it's like done and printed, you know. Like I don't want input until it's like at the end, and I want to like see people's reaction. And JG is very much like that too. Which maybe led to like some confusion in this space season because people were like, where is this going? But it all like gets smoothed out in the end, you know?
You did, of course, also work on the finale. Which scenes? Because quite a lot of people worked on that final episode, the final story, really, or like three parts of it. Which parts were you responsible for?
Yeah, that was a later thing. I think they got some note or they had to do some finagling for like the very last like few minutes where it's like after Pops dies and then they cut back to like the park in like years later where they're all older. Me, Maddie, Drace, and I wonder if Benton at the time. I think Benton had did a lot of the fighting stuff with Ryan did a lot of the fighting stuff with Benton and Owen maybe. But definitely me, Maddie, and Drace and possibly Benton just did that very, very last like few minutes. I know Drace did this really beautiful like montage-y where all the things are like sliding past of like Mordecai in his painting studio. That was all Drace. And then my section was like right when they're raising the statue of Pops and They all take the big group photo and like a couple of moments of like Mordecai and Rigby on the stairs. But it was very like, it wasn't a very long assignment. It was just like we were all working on close enough. And I think there was just like a lull and they just like needed help with this really quick. So we all just like hopped on that for like a week or so, like 2 weeks maybe. But I was so pumped to like, it's cool to have your name on the last episode, you know, such a insane, crazy finale.
Is there any favorite characters for you to write for or draw?
Yeah, I think drawing wise, all the original cast, they're just so fun to draw. Like, I love how in the space season in particular, there was a lot of episodes where they were all together. So like every shot had all of them, which was kind of a pain, but they just like puzzle piece together so nice. They're just like such a nice like lump together. But probably Pops, Benson are probably my two favorite characters to draw. Rigby's really fun to draw too. My favorite character though, I love Eileen. I think she's just so funny. And just like knowing that it's like Minty too, and Minty's my friend, like she's always a treat. Quips, you know, Quips. Quips is a hilarious character because it's like Matt Price just like doing bad jokes. I love that. Yeah, I mean, Muscle Man, they're all great. Love them all. High Five Ghost, I will say, I want to say he's probably my least favorite character to draw. He's the hardest to draw. His eyes and mouth are so hard for me to like get right. You really have to like slow down when you draw his like oval eyes.
One sec, I was about to grab something, but I've lost it. It was a High Five Ghost plush, but
Oh, cool. I want one of those.
one that, because they stopped making regular show merch many years ago, and I think they've just started again now with the new series coming up.
Really?
That's where I got this sweater
Oh,
from.
dude, nice. Oh, I didn't notice the sleeves. That's cool. The Mordecai stripes. Yeah, I always wish I mean, everybody that works at Cartoon Network gripes that they don't do any type of merch or anything anymore. But yeah, that's great. I'm so happy to hear that they're making stuff again.
And another thing that I thought was a little bit odd recently is that they've just released that series box set, but they released that 2 months ago, but they've only just started advertising it now.
It was weird. I feel like I saw that and I was like, oh, that's going to be cool. Then it's like already out and I kind of haven't heard anything about it. Also, kind of a bummer that it's DVDs and not like high quality Blu-ray or something too. But I saw it sitting in JG's office. It's just like this huge brick, but I haven't like got a chance to look at it yet. Have you seen it in person?
Not in person. The thing is with so hold on, I might have something here. I will be back in 1 second.
Okay.
Being in the UK, obviously we get we have like a different region code, so pretty much all the DVDs that were released for regular show won't work on a traditional like UK DVD player. This
Dang.
is the only one they released in the UK.
Oh yeah, I've seen
It's not good. Every
that.
episode is just like cut up completely. It says it's season
Really?
one, but it's missing Mordecai and the Rigbys.
Oh man.
And yeah, so it's not great. But I managed to get a multi-region player, and I'm now collecting all the original DVDs that came out. And in
Cool.
Australia, years before they did the complete box set, they released individual seasons, and I've got all of them, which was nice to get the show in a way, even though I have to watch them on my laptop and not on a TV.
Yeah.
But
Toby
yeah.
has those. I know Toby was ordering those from Australia too, because he was like particularly bummed that they never released stuff like that here. But that's
But
cool.
there's the High Five Ghost plush as
Oh
well.
man, cute. His little hand. Nice.
I mean, it works because he's a ghost that he's blended into the background.
Yeah.
But yeah, they released a few things that were definitely not an inspiration for the Brilliant Century Duck Crisis special,
Amazing episode.
which takes a lot of influence from the not so great merch. This is like a Pops plush.
Oh my God.
He
The
sees, he looks like
team.
he's seen things.
That's wild. Yeah, a lot of the characters, it's like they don't translate, like Rigby specifically, that he doesn't translate well to a three-dimensional object. Like, where do you put his mouth?
So yeah, is there any scenes which you've worked on which got to the end of it and was like, oh, that's something I feel like I could be proud of? In other words, like, what scene are you the most proud of that you worked on?
Honestly, it's probably from the finale, just like getting to like have such an important role in like the whole series almost. But yeah, other than that, I'm trying to think, because there's like on other shows that I've been on, there's like definitely like, you know, like fight sequences where I like really like spent a lot of time figuring out the choreography and like really proud of it when I was finally finished. And not to say I'm not proud of anything on regular show, but it's more like, first of all, Benton always took like the crazy actiony stuff in our episodes. And there's like specific scenes, like, yeah, from like the finale where I can like see like Benton's boards and it like looks like a movie. It's like so beautiful and perfect. But yeah, mine, I don't know. I can't think of anything off the top of my head. It's more just like probably like jokes that I added, and yeah, I can't think of anything specific right now, unfortunately. But I did like a car chase scene in, I'm blanking on the episode, they go to a drive-through.
Jim Blonsky.
Jim Blonsky, yeah. I did a big car chase scene in that, so I guess I'll say that I'm proud of. Yeah, the stuff that like I feel like I am good at and like what I bring to the show are like the smaller moments, you know, and just like funny character interactions and like odd acting choices, I guess. So it's hard to point and be like, this insane sequence was like something that I'm really proud of. It's all just like little things here and there.
What would you say are your main inspirations behind what you do?
Oh, that's a cool question. I my like whole worldview changed when I got my first skateboard when I was 13, and I don't skateboard anymore. But skateboarding was like my entire life when I was like until I was probably like 17, you know. But I still feel like the influence of skateboarding totally changed who I am, like. Because I started reading a bunch of skateboarding magazines and like all the videos and like the weird editing, and that's where I like got all my music taste from, and kind of like that shaped my like artistic sense is skateboarding for sure, and like all the graphics and all that stuff. And then in like I always wanted to be a painter, and I always like wanted to be an artist, and that's but I never felt like good enough to just do one thing. I also kind of like to write, and I like to draw, and I like to do this and that. So when I found comics, it was like all my favorite things rolled into one thing. So there's a lot of like cartoonists that I'm very inspired by too, like John Porcellino. He does King Cat comics, if you've ever heard of that. He's like a huge inspiration for me. But yeah, mostly skateboarding aesthetics, and there's some like illustrators. John Bergerman was like this dude who lives in England, who's a huge influence on me, and I definitely like aped his like doodly style for a few years in college.
But I'm just looking at the list of episodes you've done now. You didn't get a chance to really explore the skateboarding side of regular show.
I didn't. What was some skateboarding episodes? I can't even think of them.
I think it would have usually just been like a scene.
Okay. I can think of other there's an amazing skateboarding episode of Close Enough where Drace did an awesome sequence of Josh bombing a hill. There's some really good Sean drawings of skate shops in there too.
Minty and Ryan did Operation Hear No Evil, which had like a small bit with like an indoor skate park.
I'm not as pumped on that because Minty and Ryan don't know anything about skateboarding, so.
But did you get a chance to work on that episode of Close Enough?
I did work on that episode, but I didn't do that sequence. Did I? I think I touched that episode. Close Enough was kind of wild when I worked on it because it was when I worked on Close Enough longer than I worked on Regular Show, which is insane because I don't have much to show for anything that I did on Close Enough. Most of it got cut because when I worked on it, there were 22-minute episodes, like full half hours. And then after I left to go work on Apple and or Infinity Train, they cut it down to 11s, and the show made a lot more sense. It was like way too complicated as 22s. It just works so much better as 11s. So unfortunately, a lot of when they chopped all those original episodes in half, like most of my stuff got cut. But I did work on the Goosh episode a bit with the skateboarding, but I don't really remember anything specific. Maybe it was just like little note changey things here and there.
Do you have any advice for people who want to work in storyboarding?
Yeah, my advice is always to just make stuff, Comics is a great way just because it's kind of like all the tools you use in storyboarding, and that it's a lot of writing and drawing the same character over and over again, acting and stuff. But a lot of people now make their own animatics, but I think like there's a lot of students that I've talk to that seem they're trying to like build up their storyboarding portfolio by just like doing a lot of different things. Like, oh, I need like an action board. I need like this type of board. I need this. And just kind of like checking all the boxes. Where I feel like knowing showrunners that have like actively like been looking for people to hire, they're definitely going after people who you can like sense their personality more, like somebody who maybe doesn't even do storyboards, but they just have like comics that are like in the same tone and they're funny. Maybe they just have like a funny Twitter presence or something. Whatever, I mean, not Twitter, but you know what I'm talking about. Just any way to get your personality out there, because I feel like that's what's going to get you. That's what differentiates you from everybody else is your own take on everything. And yeah, people look for all kinds of different things. Like some comedy forward shows will look for funny people, and those same people would like never be considered for other shows, and et cetera, et cetera. So it's really hard, and it's only getting harder. Like there's people that I worked with on Apple and Onion that still haven't like worked since that show, just because like jobs are getting like harder and harder to come by, and they're shorter than they used to be, and nobody gets greenlit anymore. But on a positive note, you just gotta like, at the end of the day, like you're still an artist making work, and you just gotta like find a way to be happy with your work, even if you never get paid for it, which is like sucky to say, but is also true. Like I came into working in animation, and I still kind of have the same mentality where I'm just like riding this wave as long as I can, like before it all crashes and I have to go do something else. But like whatever happens, I know that I'm still going to be drawing in a sketchbook and like coming up with like my own stories and stuff forever. So I hope the people trying to break into animation are almost like content with just being like artists and not worrying too much about like capitalism, because it's just like it's always going to be a drag. But
Before we start to wrap up, I'd just like to ask, is there anything that you've been working on or that's coming up that you'd like to promote?
yeah, I mean the next thing of mine, I worked on some Big City Greens episodes, like three of them, and they were just released on Disney Plus. That I have I'm hoping the Bat Fam show that I worked on comes out pretty soon. I'm like really proud of that. I directed on that, so I feel very like close to that whole property. Like Regular Show, I still to this day just feel like a fan or something that got to work on it almost. Like I don't feel any ownership over Regular Show at all. But like the Bat Merry Little Batman, the movie, and I was there from the beginning of the movie, and I worked on the movie and then worked on the show. So I like grew with those characters a lot. I feel a lot like closer to them. Similar with like Infinity Train too. I was there at the beginning of that. But yeah, then as far as like personal stuff, like I'm hoping to do more paintings and things and post more on like my Instagram and all of that. I really want to get more into my personal work because I've been like so focused on like storyboarding for so long that it's kind of taken a back seat. But this is the year I get back into painting and things.
And where can people find you if they want to see that work?
Yeah, I'm Spina Doodles everywhere. Spina Doodles on like Instagram, and I'm on Blue Sky. Yeah. That's it.
Well, Sam, thank you very much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure.
Dude, thank you, Jordan. Thanks, everybody. Are you the main person for the wiki, or is there a whole group of people?
There's a couple people who I work with. I say work, it's completely unpaid.
I know, it's pretty amazing, man. Thank you for doing all this. I definitely check the wiki a lot, like for like character names.
Thank you once again to Sam Spina for joining us for this interview, and also for being very generous and sending over a collection of scrapped thumbnails for the Theoretical Mall episode. I'd really appreciate it. Once again, make sure to follow Sam across social media at Spina Doodles. These links will also be available in the description. Next time, we'll be speaking with Kevin Burkholder, a comic artist who contributed to various stories in the ongoing comic series. Here's a preview.
There's a ton of stuff that's happening in the world that you can bring into Regular Show and comment on and blow up to be, ridiculous. I was obsessed, not in a good way, but just like in like a train wreck kind of way when the Cybertruck started coming out. And I was like, what is that? And I think everybody felt that way. Though even the term Cybertruck seems like it came out of Regular Show.